Welcome back, everybody, to the Fox and the Clown podcast. Today, with me is my fellow host and biggest fan, actually, Yoshi Obata. Yeah, that's right.
I'm a fan of you or a fan of the podcast as a whole?
Well,
I don't know. I don't know about that because I know you said some controversial stuff, so I will go ahead and renounce that. I deny all allegations, and Any future allegations, I deny them. This is the beauty. I can go back and just clip this and use it as a response when the next controversy comes up, and then we're all good.
What's my biggest controversy?
Your biggest controversy, of course, is saying the N-word.
What?
I feel like you're always on the cusp. Like, I don't know if you've really ever said it, but you're always almost saying it, I feel like.
When have I said the... Pick an instance, like a specific moment where I said the N-word.
Well, I'm not saying you've said it before, but you've had some close calls, you know?
Well, I have said it before.
Okay, well, in now class, you just admit that you created
class, the controversy. I was reading a book. And I was just reading what was on the page.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, I mean, now for sure I can say I deny all the allegations.
And then, like, some of my favorite songs are littered with the N-word.
Yeah, well, you don't have to sing them, right?
I walk around like that.
Hey, man, you can't just say it on the podcast, all right? You're just too much. You're just crazy.
I mean, am I not able to enjoy that song? I can't enjoy that song to the fullest.
You can enjoy it to the fullest.
Am I just say it in my head or something?
I mean, it's an auditory experience. You don't even have to say anything. You can just simply listen to the song and be totally fine, right?
Is it okay to say the N-word in your head?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's even ever been discussed, really, by, like, philosophers or anyone of that nature.
Hmm.
Maybe not. Who knows? I think you have to be the judge of that in your own head, you know?
I'm screaming it right now in my head.
Well, screaming's a whole other issue, right? I mean, that's just... Don't you think that might be a bit too much? Screaming it in your head? So whenever you get the urge, you don't just say it, you scream it in your head.
I'm looking at... I'm looking at my webcam right now, and I look really red.
I mean, you're a little bit red. You look a bit embarrassed, honestly. You look like the controversy is kind of getting to you a little bit.
No, I think it's because I boosted my saturation. So, like, I might be getting, like, red-faced from laughing, but the saturation is boosting it.
I like that. It's like a sensor, you know?
Well... Let's check the emails.
Let's go ahead and check the emails here. Oh, wow. We're a bit tired. I mean, we're recording this on a Saturday afternoon here.
Very rare. Okay. Now...
I see a couple things. Favories? What is that? Confirmation to subscription of cat fairies?
What the fuck is this? Please confirm. What is it? Subscribe me. I don't know.
Don't subscribe. People are using our email to subscribe to random shit because we make it available. Do not use our email for...
No, please do.
No, do not. Do not. Don't click yes, subscribe, okay?
I'm gonna look at what Cat Fairies is.
So we got an email for the listeners called Cat Fairies. Confirm your subscription to Cat Fairies newsletter.
What is... This isn't like the word fairy, which is like a boat, is it?
No. This is like a fairy, like we think of it, but fae is like the mystical weird term for fairies, I think.
What? Oh, well, oh yeah, they... Oh my god, that
what
is
the true. Fuck? Good behavior and robust health for the modern house cat.
What the hell is
this just, website? It's just promoting a cat brand here.
Okay, well, no harm in that, I suppose.
No harm, but certainly no reason to actually click it, right? Click subscribe.
I mean, I have a cat. We also have something from The Turtle.
The Turtle?
It says, "Hello, Fox and Clown. I wanted to write in and sigh that as a new fan of the podcast, I am really enjoying the content you all put out there. I've enjoyed listening to recent tales of national parks as well as classic consultings."
This person doesn't seem to have a good grasp on
of ChatGPT. "Your conversations always make me laugh, and it really brightens my morning."
Brightens. Maybe they're from the UK.
Brightens. "Since we're talking, and it is near the Thanksgiving season, I would like to get your thoughts on a question with three parts. I want to know, what is the best pie flavor? The most messed up pie flavor that shouldn't exist." I feel like now they might be
misspelling things on purpose.
I think they are, these bastards. "And if you could make any pie flavor, what would it be? Thank you for taking the time to read this email." Email with a Y. Shout out to you guys. What is this word? Shout out to you guys.
For always
caring about the fans. Please keep the podcast on Spotify as I meet in my mornings. This is fucking Mizuki.
Meet in my mornings.
I can't wait to listen to the next one. Your fan, The Turtle.
P.S. I'm not unintentionally bad at spelling. Hey, man.
Okay, well, if you're writing this... First of all, The Turtle, if you're writing this, like letting us know that you're not bad at spelling, it means that you know you misspelled some words. So get back in there, in them fucking grammatical trenches, and fix your fucking mistakes. P.P.S. want a hint. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know what's going on, man. I'm scrolling down, it's too long, so it says, it's clipped by Google.
View entire message? Is this going to give me a virus if I click on it?
I don't know. I've clicked on it, though.
Okay, let's keep scrolling.
Wait, a hint about what, though?
I'm going to murder this person.
A hint about what? There was no question.
Is this... What the hell?
The Turtle is a mysterious figure here.
This is a new...
this is like Marquez Bear got bored, I guess.
I like how, like, he was our... we're like... We have a collection of viewers who are also animal-themed.
And also, they don't seem to be straightforward in the slightest. They don't want to use their real names to contact us. They don't want to have
they're
any...
like fucking Solid Snake, they're the making, Turtle.
They're making new emails. just to interface with the podcast. I mean, that's good. We haven't had much action on the Discord side of our podcast.
Yeah, at the very least, I know you're trolling with the misspellings. But thanks for emailing and making it interesting. Also, please don't use our email to sign up, for our newsletter.
Yeah, don't use the email to sign up for cat-themed, goods and services. That's not what the email is typically used for.
Let's check the spam real quick, or the social. Okay, nothing interesting on the social here. Spam. Nothing in the spam.
What the hell, man? There's some, like, sus stuff here.
Where?
In the Twitter feed, like, I don't like that there's so much sus activities.
What's sus? I'm looking at it right now. What's sus?
Everything is sus, man. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Everything is just suspect on here.
What the hell?
No spam. That's good. Well, we should at least take the time to answer this person's or this turtle.
They had question. A question?
They had three questions. They said, what is the best pie flavor? What is the most messed up pie flavor that should not exist?
I was too busy fucking trying to maneuver through this maze of a paragraph.
Yeah, very interesting. And then they also asked, if you could make any pie flavor, what would it be? Best pie. What is the best pie to you?
Well, in order to be I would say pumpkin pie. However, I think sweet potato's already probably more healthier than pumpkin.
Maybe.
That's my guess. So I'm gonna say sweet potato just because they basically taste the same.
Interesting. I would say it depends. A dessert pie is different from a regular pie, right? Dessert pie is far different than a regular pie.
What is a regular pie? What do you mean?
Well, you've got, or maybe not a regular pie,
like a pot pie? Meal.
Yeah, like a pot pie. You know, you've got shepherd's pie, chicken pot pie.
I hate any pie that is not a dessert pie.
Oh, shit, dude, because I actually kind of respect the chicken pot pie. I would say I like a chicken pot pie, and I would put that up there with the best. But in terms of dessert pies, I'm going to go, just because you said pumpkin, I'll go apple pie. I enjoy a nice apple pie.
Okay.
But I wouldn't besmirch a pumpkin pie either.
This is a great question, actually, because it allows me to go in on pot pies.
Oh, yeah. So this is the most messed up pie flavor that shouldn't exist now, is what you're talking about, right?
I probably. What is a shepherd's pie?
I don't know. It's like the UK version of a pot pie. I feel like people in the UK have a lot of different weird pies, you know?
Shit pie.
Shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie, or cottage pie, is a savory dish of cooked minced meat topped with mashed potato and baked. So it's not even a fucking pie. It's just minced meat with mashed potatoes on top in the oven. God damn it. Well, I guess you have to consider it a pie since it says pie. I mean, I would say in that case.
That's not a fucking pie. The British are idiots.
No, man. The British, they created this and called it a pie. So I would say, the pie flavor that shouldn't exist.
Honestly, the shepherd's pie.
I mean, I would say the shepherd's pie. I haven't tried it, so I don't want to put it on there.
It's not a pie. It shouldn't be called a fucking pie.
I haven't called it. What about here's one to put out. What about a cranberry? No, cranberry pie. I don't know. It could be okay. What about like a
any fruit pie? Is a good pie.
I'm thinking of maybe. Am I thinking of gooseberry pie?
Except for maybe a watermelon pie.
Imagine that, watermelon
pie. Or a pineapple pie, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go gooseberry pie. I looked it up, it's a real thing.
Gooseberry, that already sounds disgusting. It's like talking about a goose's nuts or something.
So gooseberries is it's apparently it's a real thing. I'm gonna go gooseberry pie.
I just looked up gooseberry and found a bunch of pictures of women in like onesies.
What or, the like, hell,
bikinis,
man?
Swimming suits.
I don't get that. I just get a fruit called a gooseberry. What kind of stuff are you looking up, man?
I don't know. I'm sure a gooseberry pie can't be that bad. Have you ever had one?
Never had one, but look at those gooseberries. They're so strange and veiny.
What is a gooseberry?
They're little known in the US. They're similar in size and flavor to grapes. The translucent skin and juicy interior.
They look amazing.
Gooseberry pie?
No, like gooseberries themselves.
But they're called gooseberries.
I know the name is fucked up.
I'm gonna say gooseberry pie. Fuck it, man. Sometimes you just can't name something gooseberry, alright? Just can't call it a gooseberry. That's my only qualm with it.
Well, the pie flavor that should not exist is the chicken pot pie.
Mm-mm.
And that is because my own personal hatred for this monster of a dish is because I like to see what I'm eating. And I don't know what is inside of a chicken pot pie. I assume some kind of chicken.
Chicken, indeed.
But pot pies, it's like, I'm already like a picky eater. I don't like my foods to touch.
I know, so they're all touching in there.
They're like in a sauna. All the foods are like in a food sauna right now, sweating and like
how
just.
About this? How about this? I'll make you a chicken pot pie.
No, I've never
made one. Do you like peas?
I'm not asking you to. No.
You don't like peas? Do you like carrots?
I don't think so, but I'm not a carrot hater.
Okay, I'll put some carrots in there.
I have an issue with tiny round food because I didn't eat them
tiny
as a child.
To the shape.
Yeah, the shape is very important. I didn't eat them as a child, and there was one moment where my grandpa was like really mad that I wasn't eating beans. So he grabbed some like a handful of beans and like held them in my mouth. And I was like, what the fuck?
Well, you know, you don't need to let your childhood experiences define you. You can always, you know, say, hey, maybe I didn't like it as a child, but fuck it, I've changed. Which your taste buds do change a dramatic amount in between the ages of like.
It's true. And I've
18
taken,
and 20 something.
I've taken steps in recent years to branch out and try new foods that I did not like when I was younger, like onions.
There you go.
And spinach. But yeah, chicken pot pie, the worst pie.
Well, I'll make one for you. Let's see if that holds over Christmas break.
No, I don't know. So, last question. If you can make any pie flavor, what would it be? I mean, I guess a sweet potato fucking pie. Because that's the best pie.
But you're not making that one, right? I think they mean like creation of a pie.
Oh.
And if you could make a new pie.
That's a hard concept to grasp.
Because you have to be creative. You have to be creative in the kitchen.
Well, my favorite food is spaghetti, so spaghetti pie.
Wait, well, not just because something's good doesn't mean it's good in that context, right?
Why?
Because, like, imagine a
it's
pie
got breading.
With spaghetti.
Everybody eats inside. Bread with spaghetti.
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Point, I feel like a spaghetti pie would just be spaghetti.
In a pie, though. So it would be two separate things, right?
You know what? China garden pie.
China garden pie?
Pepper steak pie.
So that's very similar to a chicken pot pie. Right. Got meat, you got veggies in a pie.
The veggies matter, though. And I feel like with a pot pie, it's almost always peas, potato, maybe, and some other random bullshit.
Well,
what about you?
If I had to make a pie, I would probably make a... Let me cook here for a second. Let me cook, because I'm thinking of several ingredients in my head.
Cream pie.
Cream... Those already exist, though. You can't just make something that already exists. Wow. Right. What about a... Let me cook here, because I need to come up with something that's actually tops the spaghetti pie that you've concocted there. What the hell? You know what I would make in a pie? I would make a pie.
Oh, fuck you.
Pie within a pie.
Schrodinger's pie?
It's basically like... You put the pie down, you put a thin layer of what's inside the pie, a very thin layer, and you put another pie in that pie. That's the same thing that you put the layer in.
What is a pie?
Pie is just a, like, bread crustings with some shit inside, and then you put it in the oven. That's really all it is, right?
I guess so. What were you saying? A pie within a pie?
Yeah, pie. That's what I would make.
Cornbread pie is actually a good pie as well. But usually, I feel like cornbread pie... I don't know. There was one... Okay, so this has nothing to do with this, but there was one Thanksgiving where, like, someone brought a cornbread pie, and I thought it was just cornbread, but like in a pie shape. But they were, but whoever the fuck brought it had actual corn kernels in the fucking cornbread.
Oh wow!
And that pissed me off.
They went super mode on the cornbread pie, the corn pie,
because. I don't know if you know this, but I hate corn off the cob. It grosses me out.
Little small things, once again. Little round small things. You need to get over that. Yeah, you need to get over that, because that seems like a big block in your life.
Only on the cob. I remember I was at Kieran's house once. I think just like the first time I was over there just chilling. It was just me and him. And his mom had made food. And I saw Kieran... Like, she made corn on the cob. And this pissed me off. Not her making the corn on the cob. But when I saw Kieran taking his knife and filleting the kernels off the cob. And I was like, you motherfucker. This shit is already perfect. You can hold it in your hands and eat it comfortably.
He wanted that fine dining experience.
Okay, well, thanks for the email.
Yes, thank you for the email, Turtle. The Turtle, I should say. Very nice. Mysterious. Okay, so the next topic we have on our docket here, forgive me for adjusting my mic so much, it's just not in quite the right space. I need to, like, readjust my shit after the podcast. But, yes, the next thing we have to talk about is the One Piece live action adaptation that came out earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts on it. And, let's rate it from 1 to 10 at the end of the segment. So what did you think of the live action adaptation?
I thought it was overall better than, I thought it would be. There was a lot of stuff in it that was, cringe, but I don't know how they would go about making the show and it not having cringe stuff in it.
Like, what was cringe in there?
Garp. These are the most cringe things for me were Garp, certain moments with Buggy, and the way, I guess, Mihawk's design.
Okay.
And with Garp, it just, there were certain moments where it felt like out of character for Garp.
I would agree with that, yeah.
With Buggy, it was just a little bit too much clown stuff.
Too much clown stuff?
Yeah, too much clown. Not enough pirate. Not enough pirate, too much clown.
Okay, okay.
And with Mihawk, I feel like one of the gripes I had was they stayed a little bit too true to his manga design. So like, they gave him contacts and stuff. Because he's got, like, the anime eyes.
Well, those eyes are very important.
Are they?
In One Piece. I think they are in the future.
Only a few characters. You think they will be?
Yeah, I think they will be. So
there are a few characters who have very similar eyes who are all important.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you with the Garp thing. I mean, I get that they wanted another plot line other than Luffy just going from town to town lackadaisically and defeating the bad there, like in the manga. I will say, even though I recognize that it did help move the story, I did not like how Garp was portrayed. Like, he was portrayed kind of as like a serious guy. And when he did laugh, he did like a psycho laugh, right?
Like, there was something. He gave off the vibe that he was a little unhinged.
He did give the unhinged vibe. And I love him. He's a great character in the manga. But he's very jolly, you know?
Yeah,
and
he's more of a Santa Claus type.
And he doesn't... He's very carefree as well.
He's Santa Claus, but he smokes cigars.
Does he smoke?
No, I'm just like... trying to paint a picture of the kind of character he is.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Santa Claus if Santa, instead of fat, was just muscle. And, and like, just didn't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And I did think that they really, in that aspect, they flipped Garp kind of 180, which I didn't like. I liked Kobe. I thought Kobe was pretty spot on. Helmeppo.
I think they did a good job with, like, merging the arcs together.
Yeah,
and, like, to make tying it them flow. In. Yeah, because I am glad that we got to see more Helmeppo and Kobe. I think that was probably the best parts, or my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah, I did think those characters were fairly enjoyable, but, oh man, it's just a shame that Garp wasn't as nice as he is in the manga. Although, I do recognize, you know, you have to always recognize how difficult it is to translate something like a manga to something like live action, where a jolly, like, character like Garp that laughs from his stomach and has, like, very eccentric poses will not translate very well to live action because those people don't actually exist in real life, you know? Like, I don't know. It would be hard to suspend your disbelief for some of them.
Yeah.
That's probably why they took some characters like Buggy in the direction that they did, is because I feel like his live action adaptation was good for live action, where he was making a lot of jokes, doing a lot of like things to, you know, comic relief type stuff, but he was also pretty serious.
Mm.
Whereas in the manga, like, once he's dealt with and out of the way, then he's just purely like a, I don't know, kind of a joke character. At least in the first half.
Well, until he shows up at Logtown and is like about to do something, but
He does indeed. Yeah, I guess that is fairly threatening too. But
Anyway. I mean, he almost kills the main character.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, who was your favorite, like, Straw Hat? Or do you think they had any, like, good or bad interpretations of the Straw Hat?
You know, I thought they all the interpretations were, like, pretty good, I would say. I thought Usopp was the most changed from the manga. But they made him work in real life, I thought. My favorite was probably Sanji in the live action. Because I think his, even though he came late, his personality stayed. He was charming. Really well done in the terms of the story and the flashback. And his fighting style translates, I feel like, pretty well to the live action. Kicks are always going to be flashy, you know. Mm. I feel like the weakest might have been Zoro. Not to say he was bad, but in the manga, he's able to, like, you know when Oda does the certain jokes where Zoro's the straight man, and he has, like, you know, when they're yelling at each other, they have, like, sharp teeth, and they're, like, really screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Like, those jokes work in the manga, but they're not going to work in live action. And so, as a result, I think he ended up being a bit drier.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zoro, I think, was the worst because of, like, he's not, like, it's harder to achieve those, like, emotes that he does in the manga when mm-hmm. he's, like, screaming at someone or something like that. He's a little bit more goofy in the manga.
He is a bit more goofy. But that's not to say he was bad in the live action. In fact, his action scenes were probably the best of any other characters, right? When he was on screen, the actor is very good at capturing the swordsmanship.
Doesn't he, like... Doesn't he, like, kill someone?
Yeah, he slices down Mr. Seven or something.
Oh yeah, he cuts that minority dude down.
He cuts Baroque Works guy down instantaneously.
Zoro, yeah. The minority hunter.
Well, I don't know about that. You're not beating the allegations again. I mean, I guess you're talking about someone else, but I mean that's I say he was, for me, he was the weakest in the live action, but that's not to say he was at all weak. He's still a strong character, still very compelling, especially in his scenes with Mihawk. Very, very cool. You definitely get the feel that he's a badass in the live action. And yeah, like you said, the story is done well, the arcs are done well. I'm glad they put Don Krieg in his place. Don Krieg was never, you never got the feel that he was going to do anything in the manga. You always sensed, like, okay, this guy's a fucking pushover. And his henchman, Jin, was even more threatening than he was, I feel like, in the manga. And Mihawk takes his place as the main antagonist, which in that part of the story, which I think is good.
The best thing that we got is more Kuro attention.
Oh yeah, Captain Kuro.
Yeah, we even got Oda to draw Kuro again.
Yeah, he was pretty good in the live action, I thought.
Yeah,
that whole arc with Usopp on Syrup Village was,
they changed that up a bit too.
They did, like, change it up a bit.
There was no Django, isn't it?
Yep.
Unfortunately, no Jenga. But, yeah, so what would you rate this?
I mean, for me, as far as enjoyment, I'm going to go with a strong 8. Like a strong 8 out of 10. I mean, there were things that annoyed me as a manga reader, but I recognize most people who watch this may not be manga readers. And so, yeah, it's just a fun adventure show. Definitely good 8 out of 10.
Well, I would give it like somewhere between a 6 and a 7. Okay. Either a light 7 or like a 6.5. Which is to say, pretty good.
There were just those things gnawing at you in the back of your head.
Yeah, I'm autistic when it comes to manga. Like, I notoriously hate fan art. And so when I think of like a live action, it just looks like it's like fan art to me.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's good. One of the best live actions. I don't know if it's the best. People were saying it's the best, but I don't know if it's the best.
What's better?
I don't know. I'm just saying that I don't know if it's the best, because I did see Alita Battle Angel in theaters, and that was good.
That was pretty good, yeah.
I feel like there was something else recently.
I didn't even know Alita Battle Angel was a manga.
Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, go check it out on Netflix. Sponsored by Netflix. And also Netflix. Netflix will promote you as long as you reboot season 2 of Dark Crystal.
I don't think they're doing that, bro.
They fucking better.
I don't know if they're rebooting that shit.
Alright. Moving on to other stuff.
Comic endeavors. So you've been doing some work on a comic, right?
Yeah, so I think this year my resolution was to put out a chapter. But work makes me exhausted, so I don't know if I'll be able to put out the chapter that I wanted to put out. I probably won't be able to, but let's see. That was going to be basically a reboot of my submission for the Saturday AM thing that I did, that competition that I participated in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a reboot of that into like a series. And I have most of the chapter figured out. I have most of the story figured out in terms of like ideas and like what I want to explore. The first chapter is written. I know what I want to do. But I think I'm going to put a pause on it because Viz Media is opening up submissions for one-shots and like series that anyone can just submit to as long as they like follow the guidelines. So I think that's what I'm going to do now. And I've been working on a news story about I've posted some of the images in Share Your Art in the Discord. It's about like a Han Solo esque character who's like a treasure hunter. She's going to like this kingdom to steal its gem, and so that's what I'm working on now. I'm gonna try to submit that to Viz soon. Hopefully I can do that before work starts back up. But yeah,
that would be nice. That sounds cool.
It's just gonna be a one shot, like a one and done story, but I'm gonna try to end it in a way where, like, you know, I think when the way that I end it, it'll be like able to like be picked up if like they like it, if someone likes it and they want me to continue it,
mm-hmm.
then I will be able to. So that's my goal now, is to submit to Viz, which would be cool because, you know, Viz, they publish like the English translations of One Piece and Dragon Ball, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I believe so. That would be awesome, actually. Yeah, ever since I visited the art museum here in San Diego, I've been itching. My artistic bone has been itching, so to speak.
Boner?
Bone itching. Yeah, that's not boner, okay? Bone itching.
So yeah, these allegations are not going to go well for you.
I mean, I'm not trying to be weird, all right?
You're itching you have a weird boner
in the art museum. No. So my bone was itching of art. Because of art, my bone was itching. And so I really wanted to kind of try something artistic because it's been so long since I've really done anything really artistic, you know? Mm. And so that's kind of why I was thinking, yeah, I should take up some type of artistic hobby. And so it inspires me when I hear you talking about your potential artistic endeavors here with your comic and stuff. It makes me think, hey, I should get off my ass and maybe even just do a couple throwaway sketches, you know, do a couple doodads and doohickeys to get my bone, get my artistic bone up, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Tavoy's also trying to pitch a series to Viz. Oh, he's been working on one. Oh man, his shit is crazy.
Whoa.
The world that he's like, I guess writing. He's got like a tournament that takes place in the center of the sun. Like very crazy shit. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get me to draw it, but I don't know if I can.
Gotcha.
I would be fine to do it, to do a project, or like to help him with a project if maybe some other person like Mizuki was also going to put in a similar amount of effort as me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was the case, then I wouldn't have to devote as much time to whatever that would be. But Mizuki said he would only help. He said that he would help, but he would only draw the noses for some reason.
What the hell? What kind of nose obsession does this man have?
I don't know.
Maybe just his practice. If he's bad at drawing noses, he just wants a little practice drawing a nose.
You better be drawing that entire face. A nose is nothing without the fucking eyes.
And that's the thing, like, sometimes in series, like in manga, they don't even have noses. They don't even draw the noses.
It's true.
Maybe that's why he was saying that.
It's gonna be an art style where the nose is just like a dot. He's just gonna go in.
It's just gonna be dots on each of the panels.
Yeah. And
he'll call it good. Yeah, I mean, ever since I heard the joke, what do you call someone with no body and no nose? I've been very intrigued by...
What is this joke? I've never heard this.
They ask, okay, what do you call a guy with no body and no nose?
No body and no nose?
Yeah.
A nobody? I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Oh, shit.
No, nobody knows what they call him. But ever since I heard that, I have also been intrigued about noses, but not to the point where I wanted to simply draw noses. And that's cool. It's also a good point where that's always something tough to do, right? When you do a joint project or you're thinking of doing a joint project with someone and, you know, you've got ideas, like someone has the idea, but they need help with the art, for example, or someone has an idea for something and they need help with the music. Then it's always like people, you know, those two things are so locked together that artistic visions have to be compromised or balanced between the two parties. So
yeah,
it's always a tough thing.
So yeah, that's the new goal, and I think it's very achievable.
I think it is, yeah.
So let's see, we talked about One Piece, talked about Viz Media. I have a Tinder update, but it's not much. It's just that I matched. Like, sometimes I'll do, like, mass swipes, where I just, like, swipe right.
Mass like, swipes? Sounds like a, like, some type of genocidal process.
Well, in a sense. Like, I'll just, like, swipe right continuously till I run out of likes. And then it's, like, it's kind of like...
You run out of likes?
Yeah, you can run out of likes. Hmm. It's, what is that thing... Trolling? Is that what it's called? When you're like, you're on a boat and you have a net behind you?
Trolling.
Trolling? Trolling. Yeah, so that's what I do on Tinder, basically, when I do that. And it's not like I'm not looking at the profiles. I just look at, like, the picture. Because sometimes I'll do, like, I'll stop, like, frame perfect, and I'll be like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry,
I just don't read the bios or anything, basically. So I was doing this, like, I only got like 2 or 3 matches.
It is trolling.
And there's only one match out of the 3 that was not, you know, that I thought was attractive. And so I investigated, I looked into the bio. And this is a pretty attractive person. So I looked at the bio and I was like, oh, this is a pretty attractive person. And I saw, unfortunately, they had genital herpes. So I'm forced to make a decision.
They listed that in their bio?
Well, yeah.
I guess so.
It's risky to list it in your bio, but you got to bring it up at some point.
It's true.
So, now I could pursue this, risk getting genital herpes, or not.
Don't risk getting genital herpes.
What the hell?
You think
just because someone has genital herpes that they don't deserve love?
I mean, no, I never said that.
Someone else.
I never said that. I said you should not risk getting genital herpes. They deserve love as well. But
where are they going to find it?
They can find it from someone who's willing to risk it, but I don't think that person should be you.
You don't think I'm willing to risk genital herpes?
Why would you be willing to risk your health, though?
I'm lonely.
Yeah, but you can... I have confidence that, like, if you move to a larger... like area, larger city, it's, and you have hobbies, you know, or you can you can get hobbies. It's very easy to meet someone, hit it off, and have things go good, you know. I feel like,
well,
we'll see. I feel like that should be the goal or the plan. I mean,
this person is really attractive.
That's totally fine. And what you could do is you could go on, you know, a couple of dates, and you don't have to do anything. You know, you can just see what's
up. Why would I waste my money if I'm not trying to do anything?
Just to see if you, I mean, what you said they deserve emotional, you know.
They don't deserve money.
You could just be friends. Like, no one ever said anything about money. You could just do a date idea where, hey, let's go to the park and
free dinner? Nothing implied afterwards? Hello?
Or you could do something that requires even less money. You could say, "Hey, I want to let's go to
come watch YouTube,
or let's go to the ocean or something. Let's go to the beach and just chill." or maybe not the beach. I don't know where they live. Or yeah, you could just go anywhere, do anything.
I think
if they like skateboarding, you could say, "Hey, let's go to the skate park."
I feel like most dates. I don't know. Never mind. We'll move on.
Okay. Just an idea. Interesting. I've never heard of a mass swipe. That sounds. I imagine if you did that in real life, you would just be moving an entire crowd of people over and seeing. It's like the trawling nets, right? You leave behind a couple, and they're like, okay, those are the selections. So, I did look it up. It is trawling, by the way. T-R-A-W-L. A trawl.
The last thing that I have to talk about is I have a new YouTube channel that is going to be focused on more not necessarily meme content. Even though I have thought of a decent idea for a shirt on Hoedown. But yeah, we'll call it an actual YouTube channel. That's the best way to describe it. I put up a video 3 weeks ago talking about Dragon Ball Daima, which is a new anime that got announced that people were shitting all over because it's very similar. You don't know anything about Dragon Ball, do you?
Mm-mm.
So there's a show back in like the 90s called Dragon Ball GT. It's supposed to be like, at the time it was supposed to be like what happens after Z. Because Dragon Ball Z came to an end. And it's not like from the original creator. Mm-hmm. It's just like original video animation. Is that the right term to use? I don't know. It's not a manga, basically. And so in that, the main character gets turned into a kid. And that's one of the main issues that people have with that series, I think.
Mm.
Because it's not... I don't know. Anyways, similar plot, or at least similar concept. The main character and a bunch of other characters are turned back into children. And that's when people got triggered because they thought it was like going to be for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was going to be like very, it's just like a ripoff of the original GT. But this one's actually from the creator. Like the creator sat down, wrote the script and stuff. And basically people were shitting on it and they don't know anything about it. They only saw like, oh, the main character is being turned into a kid again. Blah, blah, blah. This is just a GT ripoff. Anyways, I put out a video talking about it. It's like a minute and 30 seconds long because I scripted it and then I like, condensed it. I should have drawn it out. I should have drawn it out to maybe like 10 minutes or something. But anyways, the video, currently 3 weeks old, zero views.
Oh, wow. Let me see this video. Let me see.
No, that's okay. I want it to be a secret. I want it to be a secret from my friends. I want to get like actual people watching.
Because
I mean, you could easily find it, but
I don't think I can.
Maybe not you, but
I searched Dragon Ball Daimo.
Well, it's got zero views. You're not going to find this shit.
Let's see if I can. Okay. Dragon Ball Daimo. Let me think about what you would name it. Rant?
No, that is not in there.
Okay. Dragon Ball Daimo. I don't know. Thoughts?
The title. Fuck it. I'll just say the title of the video. Title of the video.
But then it's gonna give it away.
I know.
I'm
very proud of this title.
Okay.
The title is Dragon Ball Daima versus the Community, Full Fight Review.
Okay.
But it's not really a fight review. It's just like me shitting on people who are mad.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just a minute and 30 seconds of that.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need...
I'm going to need some sauce, I think.
You do need some sauce. I think the thumbnail game...
The thumbnail game is weak. That's the weakest part.
Wait a minute, there's two videos here.
One's a short, because, like, the short meta is insane.
Okay.
You can blow up a channel with shorts. Or at least you can blow up traffic to your channel with shorts and get into the algorithm.
It's true, you can.
But yeah, I'm working on concepts for a new video about Farscape, where I go over one of the strangest episodes next.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff I want to do. I hate editing a video.
Why? If you want to make a YouTube channel, you're going to need to not hate it.
The easiest part is recording the audio.
Yeah, definitely.
Editing a video is fine, but like, it's just a little tedious.
I guess. All the YouTubers I watch, no matter what field they're in, always end up, like, when you talk about editing with them or about, like, color gradings, anything to do with editing, they are like, oh yeah, I could do it for hours, or I do it for hours, you know?
What the hell?
And because being a YouTuber just means, basically, of course you have to do the content, you have to have a good idea and do the content, but like the job is like editing a good video. That's all there is to the craft, right?
Yeah, I want to do videos like this where it's just kind of like me reporting on stuff, on news that I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like for the Farscape video that I was talking about, I don't know if I would have it in like the same format where it's like me kind of like reporting. I think that would be more of like a visually driven video with like images to illustrate what I'm talking about.
See. But,
that is my other endeavor that I'm working on.
Well, good hopefully, luck to you.
Hopefully we'll be blowing up soon.
I will, I thought about making a YouTube channel in the past too, but I never did it because I don't see myself. There's a few things. I typically know like what I see myself doing and what I see myself liking. And I thought about YouTube. I was like, I like it, but the ratio for me of time spent creating and enjoying to time spent doing other stuff, like editing the video, getting all the materials, doing the thumbnails, you know, all of that. The ratio is just too off for me for the time spent, you know, like.
Yeah. I was thinking about maybe paying an editor to do it for like as cheaply as possible. Like I'm not asking him to do like a fucking, like a down the rabbit hole style editing thing, which isn't really even that much. It's just pictures, but you know,
I would wait till your channel gets bigger to even think about hiring an editor, you know?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily hire. I would do it like a commission gig. Like I would go to somebody, hey, would you like to edit this specific video? And I wouldn't like pay him like, you know, like an actual job. It would be like a commission. Yeah, Fiverr.
That could be good, because then you could see what they do and then try to emulate that. That's a good way to learn, actually. It's not too bad. What are some YouTubers that, and this will be the last question I have for you on this topic, but what are the YouTubers in the field that you look up to? That your content is like, hey, I kind of want to do something similar to what they're doing, just with stuff I like.
Well, for this video, it's kind of like, it's basically like a really condensed version of what Charlie does, you know, like Penguin Zero.
Mm.
It's basically like that for this video, but
just like talking about things.
Yeah. In terms of like for the Farscape video, I was thinking maybe something like, not like AVGN where there's like skits, but like the way he talks about stuff in his videos. Like, I wouldn't be doing skits or anything.
It's like ranting, but, kind of.
Or yeah. Maybe
not ranting, but kind of like I feel like, I mean, maybe a lot of our viewers, you know, most of our viewers are the same age as us, so they know who this is, but like OG Nostalgia Critic videos were just like him kind of ranting about things before he started doing skits and stuff, or like talking about things he liked and didn't like.
Yeah, I guess so. I would not. I don't. Let's see, is there. Is there a YouTuber that I had in mind for this? I don't know. Yeah, I guess just like a review kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, good luck on your endeavors. If I had to make a YouTube channel, I would make one about, I don't know how fucked up my body is. Complaining. I would just complain all the time.
Complain about your body?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, my fucking shoulder hurts today.
My finger pulley is torn.
Yeah. Oh, I woke up with a bad back, you know? that would be my whole YouTube channel.
Worst day of my life.
just be a blog channel, but just talk about horrible shit that's been happening to you. Just be like, God fucking damn it. Gotta wake up today through all this shit. That's actually kind of a fire idea, I'm not gonna lie. That sounds really funny. Anyway.
We could talk about Risk of Rain Returns.
We could talk about... I mean, we're already at an hour and two, but let's take that as our last topic.
Okay.
So Risk of Rain Returns is a remake to a game called Risk of Rain that we played a lot of the sequel, Risk of Rain 2. And so Risk of Rain Returns has been a game we've been playing a little bit, struggling with a little bit. Definitely have my gripes about the game. But then again, I put less than 5 to 10 hours in, so I can't really say too much. But yeah, I've been a bit frustrated with the game personally. It has a high difficulty curve, even just starting out. It's got a high difficulty curve. I'm curious what you think about it.
It's incredibly difficult. I was thinking about this. I watched a Wooly video, and I think he brought up something that I didn't realize I hated so much. When you try to climb a rope, you have to be like pixel perfect on that rope in order to climb it.
Yeah.
Like if you're flying at like a relatively fast speed, you have to like, it's almost impossible to like grab onto the rope and start climbing.
It's true. I mean, I actually watched an interview with the Risk of Rain creators, and they were talking about Risk of Rain 2, but they gave some insight onto the original Risk of Rain. And so they said, like, at the time that they made the original Risk of Rain, which was at this point around 10 years ago, they said roguelikes were starting to get big. You know, you had like things like The Binding of Isaac, so they wanted to make a game like that. But they were also into a game that I played a lot of as a kid called MapleStory, which was an MMORPG where it's a platforming game where you fight monsters, you gain levels, you upgrade your equipment and stuff like that. Basically basic MMO type stuff. But because it's a platformer, the main way you got around back in those days was like very similar to Risk of Rain mobility. You climb ropes, you climb ladders, and you jump around on platforms and stuff. So I can definitely see where their inspiration came from. However, I would say because, yeah, your character's so small and the ropes are also very small on the screen, you should definitely adapt your movement to your game, even if you wanted it to be that style. You can't have... or at least you can, but in my opinion, it's not good to have a platformer where even one element of movement is annoying, because that's the whole game. It's just moving around, right, in a platformer.
Yeah.
In essence. And so if you've got one thing that's mildly annoying, you're going to be frustrated. And that thing is annoying. Another thing that's annoying is, like, there's too much moving to be done in that game. The maps are far too expansive for the tiny character and how slow you are. I feel like...
Yeah, the maps are huge. Even Wooly said that the maps are, like, ginormous.
That plays to its detriment, I think, because there's only so many items scattered around this huge map that the density of meaningful things that you'll encounter is so small. So even if the maps are huge, it's not really like you're exploring. It's like you're just meandering around, you know? And
yeah,
that's kind of something I don't really like.
And Kieran brought this up yesterday just because he was like wondering like if there is a way to find the teleporter. Is it like the teleporter made a sound? Because in Risk of Rain 2, you can just look into the skybox for a bit and like find it because there's like sparkles above it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, if the teleporter did make a sound, it would achieve a similar effect, which would like at least be able to lead the player into the right direction to finding the teepee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few flaws, and because I usually wouldn't be so frustrated with a game if it had flaws like this, but the fact that it's not their first try, the fact that it's a remake, they had the option to improve the game in those ways. I recognize you have to balance being faithful versus your changing things in a remake, especially. But I do think there were adjustments that could be made to make the game feel a bit more fun. That being said, I'll probably pump at least
a couple. I want to beat the game.
I'll pump a few more hours. I want to beat the game with every character on the hardest difficulty. That's just me.
On fucking Monsoon.
Yeah, I want to.
You're
do that.
Insane, bro.
I want. Every I character. Mean, that's just what I want to do.
Okay.
But I'm kind of waiting. I'm not in a rush to do it because I'm kind of waiting for those quality of life upgrades to make my time more enjoyable. Because I do enjoy the core mechanic of the game where you kill monsters, you get money, you get upgrades.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's fun. It's just those little things and I'm kind of waiting on because I do feel like it would be easy to fix at least one of those issues or two of those issues. And they have plenty of time to listen to feedback and see if it gets improved. So I'm a little bit waiting. I will still play a bit, but yeah.
All right, well, that'll be all from us this time on the Fox and the Clown. Thanks for listening, everyone. Send us an email. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
At odangpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. odangpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.
Yep. Have yourselves a good one.